Welcome to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. My name is Stephanie Sison, here with my co-host Jerome Osentowski. Today's guests are local filmmakers Haley Thompson and Thomas Zuccarino. During last weekend's Five Point Film Festival, many Carbondale locals may have had the pleasure of seeing a preview of the up-and-coming documentary, How We Grow, a film about ambitious young farmers building community around locally grown food here in our own Roaring Fork Valley. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good to have you on.
You are welcome. Thanks for joining us. So how was the Five Point Film Festival for you?
Oh, life-changing. I mean, what did they say? Come together, leave changed. It was epic. I mean.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Such an honor to be able to show, our little sneak peek of the upcoming documentary to the community that it was shot in. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing in the movie was shot more than 15 minutes from the building we showed it in. That's pretty cool.
Pretty local.
Pretty cool, for sure.
And well, there were a lot of local movies that day that you showed yours. I mean, about 50% of them were local movies. It was really great to see how that progresses through the years.
Yeah, and it felt so good to be a part of the Change Makers program, because that's what that program was about. People like us who are looking to make change on the planet, and there's nothing to be embarrassed about that. Like, let's go get it.
Let's make some change. So, and Jerome and I were in the audience and definitely felt the love and support from the community for you guys and for this film and the farmers that were in it, a lot of familiar faces. And so it was really exciting for us to hear how many cheers and how much love and support there was for it. How did that feel for you guys?
Oh gosh, it was very nerve-wracking. I was like crouched in the corner in the back by the compost station trying to take a photo, but having listened to the mix for so long and just working over the cut and knowing the characters and everything and seeing everyone there, that was really special. Because I mostly wanted everyone that has been a part of it to see why we've been putting cameras in their faces and what our vision is for it, and also for them to know how appreciated they are, because that's how we see them, you know.
Well, it definitely came through for sure.
Awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the vision of the film and what you're trying to show people in the final version?
Were you sure? He was like ready to go.
It's like. So, tagline is ambitious young farmers building community around locally grown food. But as the story gets bigger, it's about the system it takes to support young people so that they can decide to choose farming as a career. And that's everything from mentors like Jerome and
access to land.
Education.
Financing.
To bring new kids in. Financing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All of these pieces that allow the farmers you saw on the screen to decide that they can be farmers.
And you showed a little bit of how that's working here in the local valley, and it is working. And it can once it gets going here, and once you show that film, that can be a model for other small communities or other big communities. So we get agriculture kind of out of the, you know, the doldrums and small agriculture, local agriculture, yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like one of the biggest inspirations for me for years, because I know you through my father and I'm watching what's been happening at Crimpy, is all the people that come from all over the world to learn from you and people that come to our particular community, not just for the tourism, but for the agriculture, that agrotourism is a thing in our community. I feel so proud of that. And I love that this film could draw attention to that. And yeah, what you were saying, give other people a model or an example of how it can work, because with greenhouses especially you can grow your showing in totally different climates.
Well, also Casey, you know, he started out with some very, very primitive greenhouses, and you feature him in the film, and now he each year he upgrades a little bit with a heater or different thermal mass, different glazings, and different soil building techniques. So I mean, I've been watching him. And these people are not just farmers, they're the next teachers. Mm-hmm. So when we get this all together, I think, you know, we'll have Kaufman, we'll have Casey, we'll be in a farm school here. say somewhere down on the valley floor. And I think then we can start, you know, ramping up the different people who are teaching to do or annual and perennial agriculture.
And I think that speaks a lot to like what the underlying story really is here, is that I'm getting old, so I'm going to say that these young people in our film have recognized a problem, and that's that they're not satisfied with agriculture in this country, or at least the food choices we have, and they're getting to work to fix it. They're putting their hands in the dirt to fix it. And so they are the next generation of problem solvers. They are more than just farmers.
Right, they're innovators.
And that's what's really inspiring, is that this could be about rebuilding the wheel. This is about young people who have recognized a problem and are getting to work to fix it. That's inspiring stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in your film and on your website, you talk about that this story digs deeper. So it's beyond farmers markets and into ways in which communities rebuild themselves around agriculture. And so from the interviews that you've been doing with these different farmers, how do you see the Roaring Fork Valley and the farmers in this film rebuilding community that really kind of brings agriculture to a little bit more of a central stage rather than some side note?
Well, definitely what they bring to the farmers markets, and also how they're getting involved in like policy.
Right.
They're covering a lot of bases and showing us what more needs to be done, particularly to make sure that there's food access, to everybody. But one of the storylines that wasn't covered in the short that I'm always inspired by is Jimmy Dula and the work he's done at the Basalt Farmers Market and bringing SNAP dollars. And that's part of the community building. You know, we're not, if you're focusing on only one part of the community, then you're not telling the full story. So do you want to?
Yeah. And it's all that again goes on to be very inspiring in how each member of the movie, whether it's mentors or whether it's the little kids who are learning to farm, and or the primary characters of the movie, they're building community around food by being, whether it's just being at the farmer's market and having return clients and teaching them that this food is more nutrient dense because it is grown 10 minutes from the stand that you're buying at. It's only half a day out of the field. That makes your food better for you. And that's community building. Even if it's for second homeowners, it's still community building. People come back to Two Roots every Saturday at the Aspen Farmers Market because they know that those radishes taste great. And they're teaching them. They're not just taking $5 and giving you a handful of radishes. They're teaching you why those radishes taste better. And guess what? They're better for you too.
Mm-hmm. And more people are learning about a plant-based diet as a very healthy diet, cutting down on meat and dairy. And you want to have the best vegetables you can, you know, if you're going to eat a plant-based diet. So you either want to grow them yourself or get them locally. But there's also a lot of interesting, you know, local meat operations here. We have people wanting to do a local slaughterhouse. And I think that area, since we are so kind of locked into cattle raising here, mm-hmm. We should be, you know, and we are in some respects, you know, harvesting, and we have to transport our meat, but it comes back here, and a lot of the local meat's being sold here and consumed, and that's really important too, and some of the chickens and stuff like that. But I think we're up, you know, agriculture is really probably going to be experienced on you know, like the ultimate storm, the you know, what do you call it,
the perfect storm,
the perfect storm. Because it's sort of, we have climate change that's affecting agriculture, whether, you know, it's late frosts or, you know, terrible hail that you featured in your video. Those are things that are hammering us. And then we also have, you know, the immigration situation now, where, you know, a lot of the Latino farmers are afraid to go to work in Oregon to pick grapes. There's all kinds of, you know, anxiety about the agriculture, the immigration status right now. And then we also have Perdue as the new agricultural secretary. So where is that going to take the, you know, what's a small farmer going to get out of that? You know, having a, you know, a corporate chicken tycoon, you know, running the Department of Agriculture. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but, you know, hello, we you know, that's what we're have to work with. So we really have to focus on the local, and that's what you've done in the movie, as every place is going to have to be growing local food. Every city should have a farm.
Well, and these farmers, like you mentioned a second ago, farming is a hard job and it's a labor of love, but these farmers that you feature are not just farmers, they are activists. They are going to Washington in between farming seasons to fight for and be proponents of sustainable agriculture and funding for farming and all kinds of different things. So what an inspiration that not only are they sweating and working hard to grow food that we consume every evening on our dinner plates, but also helping to change these policies. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, and you know, there's legislators too, and we know who they are, who are supporting those moves, and that's great stuff. You know, the Beginning Farmers Act is a Diane Mitch Bush and Gail Schwartz thing, if I'm not mistaken, and that allows a second homeowner or just any landowner to get a tax break by leasing land to a beginning farmer. That's the kind of stuff we need from a legislative perspective to get more people growing their own food. And in order to combat what we've got going on politically these days, we need inspired people. And that's part of what we want to show in the movie, is that our community has these challenges and it has these real easy triumphs too. But see our system as a roadmap. We don't have to depend on Perdue for chickens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we know how that's going to look politically, but we're showing that we can take our power back. We can take our food system back. We're doing it right here in this valley. And, you know, there's so many farmers that aren't featured in the movie. We were attracted to a group of our friends and they told us a story. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of you in this valley who are growing everything you eat. That is taking the power back, and that's what we want to show people and hopefully the rest of the world, that you can take your food system back and you can grow your own food.
When here in a climate that is high alpine, very cold, mm-hmm. and if farmers and homeowners can do it here, it's a great inspiration to people across the country and the world that we can really do this anywhere.
Well, we hope it's Absolutely. A great inspiration.
It seems like that so far. So I want to thank our listeners for tuning into the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. We are here talking about local food with filmmakers Haley Thompson and Thomas Zuccarino. So this film profiles quite a few of our local farmers, and a lot of our listeners know them by name and are eating some of their great vegetables. From your interviews with them, what seems to be one of the most consistent struggles for them as far as production or really anything to them getting food to the people? Is there anything that has stood out as a consistent issue, either for the farmers you interviewed or ones that you know of that maybe don't have farms yet?
I mean, off the top of my head, just because I left the Edit Bay coming here, I was focusing on this thing. Land access, you know, Aaron's Acres was over at Merrill's family farm last summer, and now she's moved, and she talks in the short about how it's really hard to not know how long you're going to be on a piece of property because you work that land, and then you might need to be somewhere else. And Harper and Christian are very fortunate with the deal that they have with Spradley, but I think that we see a lot of movement there and sort of uncertainty. And that is one thing where, with all the land that we have here and the added challenge of water rights, it just brings me a lot of concern and another reason to tell that story.
And also housing. So a lot of times you might be able to get some land to farm, but you can't live on it.
Right.
So we need to make those connections where, you know, we're going to be able to grow on a piece of land and also have some simple living spaces. And Another issue is, you know, some of the open space land has been, there's been a lot of open space lands available for agriculture here in the valley, but most of it's for hay growing. It stays in hay growing. And I don't think we have any real successful vegetable growers growing on open space land, and to any size anyway. It's just, there's a beginning of that. And then there's the issue of leasing land to farmers who are using GMO, who are, you know, using Roundup to spray for weeds on open space land. Boulder released a lot of their land to GMO sugar beets, and then they discontinued that. I'm not sure why, but I...
Well, they so they put it up to a vote to their citizens, and their citizens voted that open space land should not be used for GMO crop production, and that passed, and now the open space in Boulder is having to deal with the fact that they have many, many acres leased to GMO producers, and now what do they do with that situation? And we're in the situation here with Pickens County just kind of stepping into the vegetable world and allowing more leases to smaller farmers and food growers, where we're going to need to make some decisions, hopefully preemptively, of what kind of agriculture we as a community would like to see on these parcels, so that we don't get in the position where we're 10 years down the road and then having to kick farmers off because some legislation has changed. So I think now is a great opportunity for our community to step forward and say, this is public land. How do we want it farmed?
The main point here is that if you GMO a piece of land for 3 or 4 years, and then you're not renewing the lease, and that's there's a situation like that here in the county, and then that land maybe an organic farmer wants to grow on that land. Well, they won't be able to sell their vegetables for 3 years. You're punishing the organic farmer by basically using Roundup on the land, and some of the agricultural practices to grow those crops, compact the land. So, you know, you're turning that land over or giving it back to the county in worse shape than you got it. And that's a situation that we have here in the county. Yeah. And so I think we should, we should address that, because, say, if one of our young farmers wants to lease a nice piece of land, it might have nice location and everything, but if it's been sprayed, they're going to have to wait 3 years. They're going to have to do some cover crops. They're going to have to do a lot of, prep and a lot of soil building, a lot of soil aeration to get that soil back up, and so it's organically producible again.
Right. And so there's a lot of struggles that farmers have in this region and in all regions. From your guys' experience with the farmers here, what has inspired you? What has inspired them? Why do they do this work despite those struggles? I'm sure there's a ton of reasons, but are there any that stand out to you through your time with these farmers that really, really makes it worth it for them?
In each and every of the opening interviews, so we start this process by high-fiving and saying, we want to do a movie. and okay, so how do we do this? Because we've never shot a documentary before. Well, let's go interview the farmers and see what they say. Let's let them tell us their story. And each and every one of them said that they believe that everybody deserves to be able to eat nutritiously dense, tasty food, right? And Jerome believes that. And Brooke believes that. Edna Aspentree believes that. Everybody in this movement believes that. So, you know, we start with those things. And I think that is really what's behind this, is this, sure, everybody wants to be able to create their business and show that farming can be a solution and can be a very really viable career, but I think it's about getting everybody real food. And I think that's what's really behind every one of the characters in this movie.
Yeah, that, and they also just dig the lifestyle. It works out well here.
The lifestyle.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, if you're not into being behind a computer all day, which I do, and I missed desperately last summer when I got to chase them around with the camera, and you know, it's very therapeutic. I think it really fulfills your soul's longing for a purpose, and you're nourishing your community, and you're connecting with your clients. You're meeting them at the farmers market. you're planning farm-to-table dinners that that show people what's possible.
And build community.
Building community over food, always, yeah. And I just get this sense that they're like, yeah, maybe we're not making tons of money or really much, you know, they're always trying to just stay, keep their heads afloat. But they're living this amazing life where they have great food and awesome friends and, you know, shut down in the winter and go skiing and then start it up again. Works out very well in our community, I think, for all of them.
Yeah. It's called horticultural therapy, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. And so you guys talk about shifting the ways we think about food and that's part of the point of this documentary. What direction do you think, in your opinion, we need to shift our thinking and our actions as both our local community, but also the community at large in relation to local food and local farmers? It's a big question.
It is a big question. I don't know. I feel like I'm biased. I get so excited when I go to the farmers market, and I would love for other people to feel that excitement, whereas going into a grocery store under fluorescent lights and, you know, the long aisles full of processed food, I just think that you give it a try, you know, and you recognize the value, not just nutritional, but what you get back from supporting local farmers, you know, in the mindset of slow money. If you're investing in 50 miles you know, within where you live, you're keeping the money local, and it's another community building thing. And you're also smaller, you know, damage to the earth because you're not trucking the food from halfway around the world. Do you have anything to add to that?
I was just going to say, I mean, the shift is obvious, and it's kind of happening with or without the movie, and that's that. This locally grown food tastes better.
There it is.
And it's better for you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's better for the economy. It's better for the earth.
Perfect.
And it's happening by itself.
And so many of our listeners may be inspired to help you tell this story. So how can they do that? How can they best support you guys and your work and this film? And any contact information you have as we wrap the show up would be amazing.
Yeah, well, definitely check out our website at howwegrowmovie.com. Even just following us on social media, we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, How We Grow Movie. But we are also looking for partners to make this film. And so please just join the conversation. Email me or Thomas at Haley at howwegrowmovie.com or Thomas at howwegrowmovie.com. And yeah.
Great. And Jerome, do you have any announcements for Crimpy before we head out?
Yeah, so we're doing a series of workshops. I think on the 4th and 5th or 5th and 6th, we have our first weekend workshop, a forest garden and greenhouse. So that one's almost filled up, but we have one in May as well, or in June. You know, check our schedule at crmpi.org or email us at jerome@crmpi.org or 927-4158. We have room for some volunteers, and our nursery's doing really well. And yeah, spring's waking up, but then we're going back to sleep again with having to crawl down the groundhog hole again, right?
For another freeze
for a week
up.
Or so. But we may slip through. I think we're barely slipping through at Crimpy, where a lot of places have gotten frosted. But we're hoping to just slide through on this one.
Great. So as our listeners sit down to dinner tonight, let's stop and think about the farmers, plants, and animals that contributed to your meal. Maybe we can go even a step further and think about where that food came from. Did any of it come from a local farm or a local farmer? If it didn't, don't feel bad. There's great news. You can do better, and you can do better tomorrow morning for breakfast. So support local agriculture and help us create a better world for all of us. Thanks for tuning in to the Public Radio KDNK. We will see you next month on the Living Permaculture Show.